All right. Welcome back
to
the That's Interesting podcast. We had a little interseason break for a week. Yeah, or just a little wildlife happening.
Exactly.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. So I'm Bill.
And I'm Brian.
And we're here to talk about, man, a bunch of stuff today. So, yeah, it was kind of a wild couple weeks, just to say, I guess, what was going on. Kind of last weekend, my youngest son, who plays football for the local high school here, he was injured. He's a senior. You know, that has a lot that goes along with it and throws you for a little loop, I guess. And, you know, aspirations of playing in college and things like that. And not that that's out the window, but, you know, it just causes
kink in things.
It throws a hitch into, you know, I think as parents, you know, you sort of develop a mental picture of how life should flow for your kids. And, you know, so some of that I think is just all that stuff being thrown off. And, yeah, it was an interesting week. It really makes you reflect on life and,
where
in the grand scheme, it's really kind of a small thing that we make big. But I don't know, as parents we want things to go well for our kids. That's all, not always the best thing for it. I mean we all struggled, we all had struggles growing up,
right?
And so I guess this was a life lesson in learning how to navigate some of that with your kids. I mean from Josh, when he was a freshman, breaking his clavicle and then getting appendicitis his sophomore year. And, you know, each child has struggled with an injury, or Alyssa had a severely sprained ankle. And, you know, just helping your kids navigate that. I don't know.
Yeah, so. It's tough. And it's a, you know, and some of those things like, which Bryson was, it was his senior year that he broke his ankle, mm-hmm. same place that Josh broke, or not Josh, that Jacob broke his, you know, and it, of course he wasn't playing anything at that time, but you know, yeah, things
pickleball.
That are brought on like that. Yeah. Mine was, my wrist, my junior year, after my junior year of high school, when I broke my wrist, and I just made the Keystone State Games, kind of like the Junior Olympics there in Pennsylvania, and I made that team with and I got the call, and like 2 days after I got the call saying that I made the team, I broke my wrist, and so I was out.
Yeah.
And you know, those things, it's just can be devastating at that that point, but you know.
Yeah, it puts it all in perspective. You know, we read a lot of verse, and we've been talking about Romans in our small group, and Romans 5, the very beginning of it, it talks about, you know, we stand in God's grace, and we rejoice in our tribulations, and because we rejoice, because it produces perseverance, and from perseverance comes hope. And, you know, we talk through that, and that's the times in life when that really hits home.
Yeah.
And you really have to cling to those scriptures, because emotionally, I mean, we have emotions. God gave us emotions. Like, it doesn't feel good in the moment. And there's people experience way worse things than, you know, than a football season that is interrupted and by an injury or something like that. But the same principles apply. You know, our hope is not in football.
Right.
It's not in, you know, anything on this earth that we put our hope in. Our hope is in Christ. And, you know, we cling to that through the emotions that we experience, that, you know, sadness, anger, whatever, those are valid and real, but we just can't let them rule us.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, it's always, I don't want to say a good thing, but things that put it in perspective, like, I remember going on the one mission trip I've been on, which we should have done a lot more than that, but, you know, going to this place where, I mean, for us to even talk about football and playing football, and, oh, a season was, you look at these people that have, are literally living, excuse me, in tin shack houses that have no food for that day. Like, they, you know, you... That mission strips put things in perspective, and then also other people's testimonies. I know Jacob's friend that had come up to him and helped Jacob feel a whole lot better about, because he had a much worse situation.
Yeah, yeah. I'm. It's definitely a learning and growing thing. I mean, we know when we look at our own lives, like. It wasn't the times where life was just cruising right along and we had no difficulties or no challenges and life was going well financially and health-wise and everything. Those are typically the times where we're like, eh, hey, God, I got this. Like, it's all good. I don't have, you know, we're moving right along. So, but we know in our own lives, like, it was the times where we weren't sure how we were going to be able to pay for something, or, you know, the unexpected happens that causes difficulty. And that's when we grow. And so you think about that for your kids. Yeah. Like, how do you even approach God with that? Like,
yeah. And then I think, too, that kind of the social media aspect of... can play a role in that as well, as, you know, you see how things are not great with whatever situation you're going through, but then you get on social media and you see all your friends and everybody on social media, it's just, everything's wonderful. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that can play into just the potential depressive state, you know. Social media is not
great. Again, just that same thing, understanding with our kids, like, how do you pray for that growth in your kids? Like, life being handed to them doesn't make them grow. It's both spiritually and just as adults and growing in as young adults, like, it's the things that are challenging. And we know that, so how do we, what's the how do we even put that, lay that before God?
Yeah.
And I guess I've just kind of come to the conclusion and shared with our small group, like, God, just give them just enough difficulty to shape them, but don't give them too much.
Right.
Like, we know that God loves them and that he cares, and but give them just the right amount of difficulty and help me to help them navigate that.
Right.
But ultimately, help them turn to Christ in those situations and to see that there's bigger purposes and to see that we have hope outside of ourselves and outside of football and outside of whatever the situation of loss or disappointment, like, because everybody goes through it. And a lot of people's are a lot worse, like I said, than just, you know, some football games.
Yeah, I think that the, you know, the passage that comes to mind, thinking about, you know, the fact that we have to pray for difficulties for our kids is... And you know, because, and then us not be able to fix it, like, because there are some situations, and a lot of people in this world are in the situation where they can't fix any of it. Like, it's not fixable. And you think about the Church of Laodicea, where it talks about how you think you're rich, you think you're, you know, everything is good, but you don't recognize that you're blind and you're wretched, and you're pitiable, and you're, I can't remember exactly, but in Revelation it talks about the church of Laodicea, and it's I think that very well describes our church and should help us to kind of just get a real view and a, you know, humble ourselves to who God is through that.
Well, speaking of rich.
Yeah.
How about Elon Musk entering into
He's got a lot of money.
Did I hear he's going to potentially be the first trillionaire? Something like that?
I mean, I would say in the United States, because I'm certain.
Is there a trillionaire in the world? Yeah.
The UAE, like there's a lot of these guys over there.
That makes sense.
I mean, they're loaded.
Right. Yeah. That's like loaded seems like a mild term for that. That was my segue there. The Church of Laodicea and rich, and then into Elon Musk.
That's good. Yeah.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Elon, crazy. Like, he's obviously backing Trump here. Yeah. Has been up on stage. In his dark MAGA.
Yeah.
Attire.
Weird.
A little bit weird. But he's been in the news, or his company's been in the news this past week.
So much too. Stuff.
Really a lot of stuff. I just happened to read about the, was that just today or yesterday? It was today.
I think it was today.
Yeah, because Buddy talked about it in church and said, don't look at it. And I was already looking it up on my phone. So, the chopsticks that caught the rocket returning to Earth.
Pretty interesting. So
it was interesting. The video of it's really pretty cool.
Yeah.
This rocket descending, staying upright and descending back down to Earth and, you know, right into these little waiting little chopstick arms. Well, they're not little.
No.
But large metal arms that sort of clamp down on the rocket. Like,
yeah.
I mean, that's a pretty cool engineering feat.
Yeah.
To accomplish. I bring that up to say I was reading some comments about that, and let's just call her random commenter. She had no scientific background that I know of or anything, but I thought it was an interesting point as she's saying that Elon Musk and these ultra wealthy elites, that their goal in all of this, and I don't know how she and Glenn Beck obviously have all the insider information.
It'd be somebody
but
off the path more than Glenn.
She seems to think that these ultra wealthy guys in the world are formulating a way, because, you know, the Earth has, in their mind, has pretty much run its course. And so they're trying to get off of the, and this is only going to be something for the ultra wealthy to get off of the Earth and go live on the moon or go live on Mars or something of that nature. So
it could be Glenn Beck then, because they do believe that there's life on other planets, and we're just one of the space child planets.
Okay.
So,
see,
it could be Glenn Beck.
So, I hadn't, I guess, really thought. I knew Elon Musk is like, he has stated many times that his goal is to get humans to Mars.
Yeah.
And I guess I just hadn't really thought of it in that perspective. Us peons will be left here on Earth. And, all those ultra wealthy will go off to their new shiny new planet.
Yeah, with barren nothingness on it.
Exactly.
But I don't know. I guess you could think that. I don't know. Of course, I have a completely different view of that whole situation, which we are waiting for Cody to get on here with me to discuss that.
Right.
But I always go back to what the scripture says, and it says that they, when it starts getting bad, they're going to crawl into the caves and into the mountains and pray for the rocks to fall on them to hide them from the fierce anger of the Lord, from the wrath of the Lord. So now that is something that they are doing as well, like building bunkers and digging, you know, and of course there's a lot
prepping
there. Yeah, kind of. And there's a lot. The tunnel system in the United States is
wider than P. Diddy's tunnels.
There's, it is. There's, why would you say it that way?
So, I mean, P. Diddy had tunnels under his house, apparently.
He did.
I don't know.
Yes.
Psycho.
And, yeah, but there's an extensive underground system in the United States, and it's very interesting where people go missing, children go missing, where things like that happen, and where these supposed tunnel systems and cave systems are in the United States. It's interesting.
Under P. Diddy's house.
There's some there as well. And all through D.C., like all through D.C. Yeah. And New York, everywhere. Mm-hmm. So it's an interesting thing. I just saw one today, a video today of these guys that were just walking through the woods and found this opening and stairs going down. And you just wonder, who made this and when? Like, when was this built and by who? So it's crazy.
It's a rocket silo buried in the woods.
Tons of stuff, just like tunnels that are, I don't even know. I don't know who had the time. When did they do it? It's crazy. But
yeah,
if you start looking into any of that stuff, there's a lot of it. And you really do just go, what in the world? I mean, that whole underground city over in the Vatican, have you heard about that? Where they have all the bones, Josh? No? No? Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
In that algorithm.
Hey, you need to look into that. And it's like legit, like you can go down there and tour some of it. Yeah. But it is such an extensive network that like there's places that are blocked off, but they have millions and millions of bones, of human bones. It's like that's what lines the walls of the place. And they're stacked in intricate ways. And that's not in the conspiracy zone. That is like
we're
legit.
Not even there yet.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
yeah.
Paris.
Okay. Yeah. There, I think there's some in
there
the Vatican too, though. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think there's some around the Vatican area as well.
Interesting.
But the catacombs, yes, they do that. It's interesting.
Yeah. That is wild. I mean, just the whole, like, and I know you always say, if you think it's bad, it's 10 times worse.
It's way worse.
And, you know, just the fact of, like, this whole thing with Puff, P. Daddy, P. Diddy, whatever the heck his name is. He went, like, by, like, 18 names also. I don't know. I guess money corrupts, and you have everything that you, and you just seeking power and seeking whatever else you think you can control. Like, I'm sure he's sitting there right now with all of his money and just thinking, I'm getting out of this.
Yeah.
Like, I can pay enough people to get out of this. And I'm not naming names, and I'm not doing anything because I'm getting out of this.
I don't know. I it's almost seems to me that we're at that point where they just don't care. Mm-hmm. Like, they don't care who knows. They don't care what people find out. Mm-hmm. It almost seems like we're at, like, end game level where they just, there's so much evil, and they don't really care that you know about it. They don't care if you find out, your favorite actor, they don't even care anymore is what it seems like, because there's just so much evil just coming out all over the place.
Right. Well, and again, money corrupts. Like, a lot of these people who've been involved and were probably kids during that time, P. Diddy is a multi-billionaire.
Yeah.
Like, he has paid off these families and had them sign NDAs and all this stuff where, you know, are they even going to talk? Because they got money out of it. And I'm not saying that is in no way intended to shame victims of those crimes that were children.
Right.
But that is a method that someone with that kind of power and influence and money would use to keep people silent.
Yeah.
Well, I can just spread my money out a little bit and people will stay silent.
Well, and I mean, you know, you look at the ones that aren't same names associated with P. Diddy, same names associated, and the number of those people that come out and openly say that they sold their soul to Satan. Like, that you can pull up the videos of all these people doing it. They openly say, yeah, I sold my soul to Satan. No, it's literally like you sign in blood. And if 15 of these people, you see them say it, do you just go, oh, they were all just faking it? They all just said that just to be hyperbolic, like whatever. It's there's the dark, dark world there that, and again, if you think, like, however bad you think it is, it's way worse than that.
Yeah. Well, it's been good. You think back into Hollywood, like, it's been going on.
Yeah.
For a lot. Like, some of the stuff is now coming to light, and there have been, like, intermittent things. And I think we talked about it on a prior podcast of, like, there have been intermittent things of, like, what, Corey Feldman and those guys that came out, and they get, like, basically blacklisted in Hollywood because they came out and said, hey, this is what was happening.
And Corey Haim killed himself because of that.
Yeah.
Are we in conspiracy zone yet? Or no. Because I was going to lead into that from my...
I don't think let's see what else. Hey, before we get there, we got to talk a little bit about just where the Harris and Walls ads have been going this past week.
If you have not looked up the attempt to... you know, relate to men.
I'm not sure what man they're relating to, like, but.
Oh, my head is in my hands.
Yeah.
If you can't see this, because it is just insane.
I don't know. Again, I try to understand where people are coming from. I try to, because I know and love people who I'm sure will not vote the same way that I will vote.
Yeah.
And that's okay. I will still love them. I hope they still love me too. But I just don't, like, I don't get the whole, obviously both sides pander to try and attract certain voters. The whole gun thing, like, immediately in the debate, I think I said it in a previous podcast, like, I wanted Trump to ask her, what gun do you have?
Right.
When did you last shoot it? Like, just some details about it, because if you're a responsible gun owner, you should know.
Right.
And I think that showed out this past week when... Tim Walls was apparently, you know, trying to create a
I'm just like you.
A political ad, yes, right. Trying to connect with hunters, and was out there pheasant hunting, apparently.
We're trying to.
Attempting to, in a three-hour hunt, did not fire one shot, from what I read. Three-hour hunt, did not fire one shot. And maybe that was because he never did get his gun loaded.
Yeah.
Because in the video of him attempting to load his gun, it was pretty comical.
Yeah.
You know, if you are a hunter, yes, there are times where, but if that was, you would think he was using his own gun.
Yeah.
And so if it's your gun, you know how to load your own gun. And it's honestly not that hard
to
load a gun. So
I'm laughing, too, because I can't wait to see Jim Gaffigan's impression of Tim Walz doing that. Because SNL has been coming out with some pretty good stuff lately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Maya Rudolph does a very good Kamala Harris, and Jim Gaffigan does a good Tim Walz as well.
And then Dana Carvey does Biden.
Oh, kids. Right. It's some good stuff.
It's been good. I haven't watched SNL, like the whole show, in a long time.
It kind of took a hard political turn at one. You know, they always sprinkled in political stuff, which was funny when it wasn't like the whole foundation of the show.
Right.
But then it kind of turned into basically a political show for a long time. And so they got some good stuff. Got some good stuff.
And I did watch the Chippendales. The song came on from the Chippendales skit Chris Farley and Patrick Swayze.
Rip.
One of the top five all time.
It really is. Yeah. Pretty much anything. If you know me at all, you know that during the course of a day, a Chris Farley quote will come out at some point. I mean, if you haven't watched Tommy Boy 150 times, then I don't even hardly know you.
Right. And then all the other ones that just stay in our heads because as professionals, we probably shouldn't say that.
Exactly. Yes. Between Tommy Boy and Billy Madison, there's a lot of life applicable quotes.
Dumb and Dumber.
Dumb and Dumber as well. Yeah. Yes. Oh, good stuff. So, yeah. So that's our. So the Hurricanes. That was a sharp shift.
That was
right there.
An abrupt 180.
We just went from political to hurricane.
Well, it kind of fits into the political as well.
See, there's segues everywhere. There are segues everywhere. So, we've had these two.
Yeah.
Helene and Milton.
There's like two more, aren't there?
I can't say that I've looked today, but you know, I was looking since the late 1800s. There have been 14, maybe it's 15 now. Anyhow, 14 to 15 hurricanes that have formed in that area of the Caribbean and then come up into the Gulf. So. You know, it's not something that is completely unheard of, but it does seem, you know, I don't know. I'm not a meteorologist. Yeah. Maybe James Spann could answer this better. But, you know, is it the Brian has theories, I know. But I will say that I don't know the pattern, if the jet stream has shifted and caused a different atmospheric condition or something along those lines, but it definitely is odd that like two in a row have seemed to come right from this same area
and
the size and how fast they developed into
and then grew really really quickly. If you don't believe, and this kind of drifts off into the conspiracy zone, if you don't believe in the ability to manipulate the weather, you really need to do
the government
research with that stuff.
The government has admitted to, they've put out there certain levels of manipulation, which, you know, we all know there are things that they allow the public to know,
right.
And there are other things. Now, I'm not saying that I go all the way to the other end of how deeply the government is willing to, create a storm or something like that, or if they actually can.
And I'm all in on it.
There you go.
I mean,
there's your balance.
I think I think approach for the day. This is where I was trying to get into the conspiracy zone, because we were talking about P. Diddy and we were talking about that.
Oh, there's so much.
And my angle with the would our government, if they have the capability, which they do, look into it. They have the capability to control the weather, to create hurricanes, to intensify storms, to create.
I don't know
clouds.
That they've admitted to being able to create hurricanes.
They have. I'm pretty positive you can find that in the CIA director talked about that, I believe. So if they have the ability to do those things, we know they have. Type in lasers for cloud seeding. Just type in that search into Google. It'll show you. Yeah, they can use lasers to cloud seed, which is creating more clouds. So you can, what appears to be lasers shooting into these hurricanes, as the hurricanes are growing, and then it looks like they're shooting lasers into the clouds and into the hurricane to potentially create larger. And then they have governmental airplanes flying over top of the hurricanes in patterns around the hurricanes, and they're saying that they're just studying it. Well, why then, as soon as those airplanes got out of the patterns of doing that, that's when those storms increased as well. So were they cloud seeding while they were studying these storms? So there's some things
it
that,
was like, have you ever been in an above ground pool? And you just like
that's
run in circles?
Yeah.
That's what the planes were doing.
Yes, with a bunch of chemicals to spray into the clouds to make them worse. And see, and this is where I go into it.
Exactly.
Where we think, why would they do that? And then you look into the lithium mine that's in North Carolina and the contract that was made to be able to start mining the lithium out of North Carolina. Because, yes, they can direct the hurricanes where they go, by using the NORAD stations and the, I forget what the stations are, that they can use to direct where the storms go. And so if they can do that, so in Lahaina, they wanted a smart city in Lahaina. And then
burned it.
They tried to get the land and the people wouldn't sell. And conveniently, it burned right before. There are people that report seeing lasers being shot down into the fire. There's a lot of really weird things with that, and people go, our government wouldn't do that. And then you look at the storm and you go, well, if they have the ability and the capability to create and control storms and make them worse and make them go where they want them to, and you look at where this lithium mine is in North Carolina, or where the lithium seam is, where they want to mine, and the people wouldn't sell the land, and now there aren't any people there to have to worry about to get the land. And the
but don't people still own the land?
Well, the $750 that they got was actually a loan from the government, and so if they don't pay it back in a year, then the government can take their property. And also eminent domain things can allow them to get the land if there's a natural disaster. So they're going, the company that wanted to buy the land to begin with, they are going around trying to purchase people's land as well. But coincidentally, it's a BlackRock. The parent company is BlackRock. The company that's under that is controlled by, I have to look exactly to see his connection to it, but it is Kamala Harris's husband that is over that company.
Doug
that's going to be
M.
doing
Hoff.
Yes. So it's interesting when you look at those things and then you go, well,
well, let's circle back.
Would
for
they
a second.
Do that?
So,
yes.
Is what's the update on Lahaina? Is it a smart city yet?
All I know, I'm last I saw, it's been closed off. Like they don't let any planes fly or any drones fly over it. They walled it up around the outside and like put where privacy fencing so you can't see into it.
The whole city.
Yes. So the whole.
So
thing
everyone
is
who
off.
Lived there,
they are not allowed to go back in there. And that's what they're saying is happening in North Carolina. They're blocking it off and not allowing the people to go back into where, in this area where the mine was supposed to be. So if they have the ability to do that, and this is where I always go to, and this is where I say, if you don't think that they would, and I've told you this, is we know about Jeffrey Epstein. Mm-hmm. We know about P. Diddy.
Right.
We know about these people. So what were these people doing on vacation? Mm-hmm. What they did on vacation was go to Jeffrey Epstein's island and do unspeakable things to children for vacation. So they don't think like you and I do. Mm-hmm. They don't think like most people do. Their thought is, that's what we do for fun, is to permanently damage children. So to think, would they wipe out a bunch of people? Would they 9/11? Would they do these things? Absolutely. That is nothing to them.
Don't you think the environmental groups would be all over this thing in North Carolina? Like,
they are all over it, saying that that it's global warming, you know, right, climate change.
But if they're going to go in and dig up a lithium mine and that's their ultimate, don't you think there's like inside people who would be like, no, you're not digging up the earth and cutting down trees. And
but it's for the lithium. So see, there's always, and this is where the double standard is with a lot on the left, is, well, we can get the lithium out and completely destroy everything for the lithium, because that's going to help make batteries, where in reality the damage to the environment is multiple times more to get lithium out of the ground than it is to, you know, get oil.
Right. So I have to feel like there's some, maybe not all, maybe some are so far down the road that they just, you know, they want to go all electric and whatever it takes, destroy the world to get batteries made.
Yeah.
But I have to believe there's some environmental groups out there that are like, hey, we're not cutting down trees. You're not cutting down Luna.
Well,
I'm going to go live in her so you can't cut her down.
Yeah, there may be, but then on the other side, are they going to get any airtime? Are they?
I don't know. I feel like the news might be.
Yeah, since BlackRock and Vanguard, and now George Soros own the vast majority of news stations in the world. If their agenda is to do these things, why would they allow anybody to say anything on their news stations that goes against what they want? So, you know, it's an interesting world we live in.
It is an interesting world.
I think in the past couple of weeks I have said, I just really hope Jesus comes to get us really soon. That has probably been the number one statement I've made, because it would be great.
It would be. It would be a good thing. But underlying all of these hurricanes and child predators, and we have hope.
Oh, yeah.
And disappointment. Like, man, we talked about a lot of negative stuff today.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, hurricanes, predators,
but the beautiful disappointment thing is that's what the Bible says is going to happen more and more as we get to the end. And
yeah. So, but we don't have to fear.
Right.
And we don't have to fret.
Right.
And if you know Jesus out there, you have hope and you have underlying joy. And that was my key message to my son, just as we kind of round things up, and that in our disappointments in life, yes, we will feel emotions and sadness and maybe anger and all of those things. But we know that underlying all of that, we have hope.
Yep.
And we have joy. And we can rest in that because we stand in God's grace. And so because of that, we can wake up tomorrow and we can say, it's a good day.
Yep.
And I'm thankful for that. In spite of, this crazy world that we live in, that we have hope. And there is hope out there. If you don't know Jesus, that's where it lies. And that's, I don't understand, all the gifts with telling somebody about Jesus, because it's really just, it's a source of hope. And it's not, yeah, you look back over history and people say, but the Crusades and all these things. And there were people who, even in our world today, that label themselves as Christians, but on a heart side of things, don't live that out.
Right.
And so I want you to leave. I want to leave with that note. Like, there's a lot of crazy stuff and there's a lot of bad stuff, and we're going to talk about it, and we're going to maybe laugh some and maybe be just thrown back a little bit sometimes. Yeah. But underlying all of that, we truly believe that there is hope.
Right.
And we have joy in Jesus. And
because, I mean, we're all sinners. We all need a Savior.
Yep.
And that is the beautiful thing, is that Jesus lived that perfect life.
Yeah. He paid the debt that we couldn't pay. He told the judge, hey, here's his debt. I've paid it off. And we just, the ball is in our court there to a degree. But that's a discussion for another day.
Yep.
So, it's been good to be with y'all again.
Yep.
And season two begins. We are 11 episodes in now.
Awesome.
So, it's been fun. So
it has.
We'll talk to you guys again real soon.
Have a great week.
Have a good one.